Hello, hello. Open your Bibles. Thank God for the Bible. This is a day where a lot of people aren't listening to the Bible anymore. They have entertainment, they have all these other things, but we have to keep our roots and our hearts and our minds in the Bible, and it's here for us, and it's very important. And there's a lot of things going on in the world that we can't control, but there are things in the Bible that we need to keep our eyes on. And one of the things I want to talk about tonight is, I don't know how you would even want to say it, is facing and dealing with church hurt and pain and people that have betrayed you, that have rejected you, relationships that have hurt us all being on the earth. You're going to face betrayal, rejection, abandonment, narcissism, and we have to overcome it. And we can't do it without the Lord. And so tonight is kind of like overcoming church hurt in some ways. But in 2 Samuel 4:4, Jonathan had a son. Now you know that King Saul had a son, Jonathan, and Jonathan was, he made a big move, a bad move in his life. He should have went with David. Instead, he went with Saul, his father. And he ended up choosing the wrong person to spend the rest of his destiny with. And we don't want to be like Jonathan. Jonathan was a good guy, but he stuck with the narcissist father. He stuck with the bad guy. But Saul, he had a son. His name was Jonathan. And then Jonathan had a son, and his name was Mephibosheth. Say that 5 times. Mephibosheth. And in 2 Samuel 4:4, Jonathan, Saul's son, he had a son that was lame of his feet. And when I first started preaching on this years ago, I thought he only had something wrong with one foot. But as you read in chapter 9, he was lame on both feet. So when he was 5 years old, the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Israel, and his nurse, who took him up, and fled, and it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. So here is someone that should have been protecting him, and in the haste and all the anxiety and all the things that was happening, she tripped and fell, or something happened, something that crippled Mephibosheth for life. And so in the arms of his nurse, where he should have been protected, he was hurt and wounded. And that's like so many people, that someone that you thought had your back, someone in your family, someone in the ministry, someone dropped you. And that dropping was so intense that it left you mentally, physically wounded. And there's so many people in the church that I deal with that don't want anything to do with church anymore because of church hurt. Church situations, and they don't want, many people, when they gravitate towards a pastor, they gravitate, and I speak this for myself, if you've been abused and you had a father that was kind of brutal, you kind of gravitate, being treated kind of rough is normal for you, and not having love and support. And a lot of these narcissistic pastors are very abusive. I do want to say, I'm going to change it up a little bit. Read this. I preached on this before, but this is some notes from my own experience with narcissistic ministries and pastors, and a whole lot I don't want to talk about right now. But narcissism is on the spectrum. There's some that are worse than others. Let's put it that way. And narcissists, especially in the church, they want the authority of a king, but the accountability of a toddler. They want to do whatever they want to do, and they hurt a lot of people. And in these churches, and if you've been through these type of churches, I'm really sorry, because we have. And we know the hurt, we know the dropping, we know the betrayal, we know the guilt of, why did I ever allow this? How come I didn't see this? How come I fell into this situation? But these narc pastors continually go on, and they leave a trail of hurt and wounded people. And it seems like it's just like an open door. Their churches are hurting people, and then they get it and they leave, and then another wave comes in and everything changes but the narcissism in the leadership. And the narc pastors need to control everything. They have to be in control of everything and everyone. And usually they need to be the center of everything, especially their messages. I was good friends with a lot of these preachers back in the day, and I got so tired of these women conventions where the leader, all she did was talk about herself. It was just the stories and stories and stories about her. And it gets old after a while, especially if you've been friends for a long time and they keep preaching the same things, but they have to be the center of attention. They use the talents and abilities of those around them until another gift and talent is better, and then they discard them. It's like next. It's like, okay, you have a gift, I can use that. And that's not how the kingdom of God is supposed to be. We're supposed to be there to serve one another. We're there to help each other. We use the gifts and talents God's given us not to benefit ourselves, but to help people. But somehow things have gotten twisted and they discard. And when you get discarded, I remember I was leading praise and worship for 17 years in the church that I started, and then someone came up to me and just said, you'll no longer be singing. And I was a worshiper. I didn't want to do the entertainment. I didn't want to do all the rap stuff. I'm an old sing from the heart person to worship the Lord. And basically, you're discarded now because so-and-so's coming and they have a better gift. And they did have a gift, and I loved that person. But still, I saw that over and over in ministry. Next, we're done with you. And then I didn't get hurt by that because I was very busy doing many other things. But I've seen many people destroyed because of that. The discard is terrible when you find someone else that can sing better, preach better, do anything better. Then you get the discard. So the narcissism in the church is just like the world. And sometimes I wonder, are these people even really saved? Are these pastors that are narcissistic, they've never allowed the Lord to change them, and they don't have any love? There's no empathy. It's like when you get saved, the first fruit you should have is love. I remember when I got saved, everything looked great. Even the flowers looked good. It was just like everything was so beautiful. But with these people, it's they don't let the Lord change them. They have a life full of holes. And they're always trying to put materialism in, status, money, all this stuff, their vision. And their vision isn't to help the people. It's their vision. Well, let me tell you our vision. And if you don't fit with our vision, you have to leave. Right there, if they say that to you, run. Because we're not here for your vision. We're here to have the Lord's vision, right? I don't even like that word anymore, vision. They replace people without pity or remorse. It's almost like they have no feelings. Because if you don't have empathy, you can't put yourself in another person's shoes. And when you have empathy, when you do something, you think, how is that going to affect someone else? These people have no ability to have empathy of what this is going to do to someone else because they don't care. And more you're seeing, not only just in religious areas, but political areas, this hardness, this narcissistic, prideful, arrogant thing. Then they use people and they throw them away when they're done. The sad part, they can be very charming, charismatic, but they can also be pitiless and cruel. It's quite a spectrum. They love bomb you to get you in, then they use your gifts and talents, and when they found someone else that's a little better than you, I don't need you anymore. This is the person I'm going to hire. You're fired. You're done. And that is such a, just like Mephibosheth here, a drop, a rejection, a betrayal, a wound that a lot of people don't want to get over. They don't even want to have anything to do with another ministry, another leader, another church or whatever, because it was devastating. The pastorate, unfortunately, is very attractive to religious narcissists. They can perform on stage. They can get their narcissistic supply. they can get their needs met by being in front of people. A true minister is there to serve the people. The wolves are there to serve themselves. No other profession can you stand in front of people every week as an expert on God's behalf. And they use the God card to cast their vision and use it to get their way. And because there's very little accountability, they can spend money on things that no one knows about, on themselves, very luxurious things. And Christians have been brainwashed to think this is okay. We want our pastor beyond blessed with his own airplane, with his own mansions. That's sickness. That is spiritual greed. And then the true ministers are the ones that are thrown to the side because they won't play the game. This narcissistic pastor uses the pulpit to glorify themselves, to gain power over others, and to use or exploit anyone until that person is no longer useful. So back here with Mephibosheth, I don't know if you want to just cut that off and use that as a little short one, but Mephibosheth, here he's left wounded, and I wanted to ask a question. Have you ever been wounded by a leader? Have you ever been wounded and left wounded by someone that should have taken care of you? A lot of us are World War II victims of our fathers, the post-traumatic stress that they experienced, and we didn't realize how abused we really were, neglected really, because they didn't know how to deal with themselves, and as a result they ended up wounding the whole family. And so as a result, Mephibosheth, he had a traumatic event physically, but it also affected him mentally. And whatever you go through physically, it is going to affect you mentally. And trauma, we see trauma here, and we see trauma in our own lives. When you've had trauma, your safe world becomes shattered. And I remember living, my dad would come home drunk, and so I'd stay up like an idiot. I'd stay up till 2 a.m, make sure he got home, because I was so worried that he was not going to make it home. Especially when my mom died, he got really bad. And I was his favorite. You ask my brothers and sisters. Well, the only reason why I was, because I tried to help him. You know, I tried to help him get up the steps. I'd try to help him. But it leaves you very anxious, and it leaves you with trauma yourself. And an example of that is we were driving home from Tim's dad last week, 2 weeks ago, and we had kind of a little mini whirlwind snowstorm. And behind us, a car 3 miles back turned over on its side. But it was just, it was weird. You couldn't see and all this. And all of a sudden, I could feel that anxiety. And he's a great driver. It's nothing to do with him, but it's because of the past trauma that I've lived through. My dad used to take us, and he was drunk all the time, but he'd take us on a road, and he'd see how fast he could go on that road on the opposite side of the road. And then when a car would come, he'd go back. And to him, that was funny. Well, we had three, there's five of us, but the three youngest, Randy, Tom, and I, we were petrified. And to this day, it's almost like you get in these situations and your body wants to react. Even though you're fine in your head, the trauma in your, does that make any sense? It's just like, how do you get rid of it? You trust the Lord, you get your eyes on the Lord, but you experience things because of the trauma that you had in life. And sometimes it just doesn't want to go away. It wants to cling on, right? So in the traumatic world that we've all come from, different situations, our safe world was shattered. And our place of refuge was invaded. Where our family life should have been really peaceful and nice, a lot of us had alcoholic parents that made it really rough, because you never knew what was going to happen. With my dad, you never knew what was going to set him off. Now, in the morning, when he would go to work, he never missed a day's work. I don't know how he did that. He was the nicest guy, the sweetest guy. Everybody loved him. But after work, there he'd go, hang out at the bar. And I'm sure it's the trauma that he had in that war, because he was at Normandy, he was the only one that lived. and he had his hand shot through. He broke his back, and so he was not in the midst of some of the fire, but he was fighting. He was in combat, and he had shrapnel in his head. So that's pretty close. So we'll never know what some of our parents went through these wars. They had post-traumatic stress syndrome. They found out later what this was. They just brought him back from the war, put him back to work. But the same thing's happening in the church world. There are so many people that have stress. They were guilted. They were shamed. You had to come to every service. You had to give so much. And when they had giving weeks, you were supposed to give it all. We never did that, but the church down the road did that. Give it all. You had to give everything. That has left traumatic things in people's lives. And some of them have walked away from the church totally. Some want nothing to do with God. But I just want to tell you, that wasn't God. And that wasn't the Lord. These are men taking over, using God's name, doing things, you know, for their own profit. And as a result, they'll be judged. There's going to come a judgment day. But vengeance is the Lord's. But I just want to acknowledge and validate your feelings of hurt. Yes, it was terrible. Yes, it was painful. None of us should have went through it. But on the other hand, what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn it around, and he already has for me. I had a terrible church situation, and I don't know if I should share it or not, but I started this church. Nobody helped me. I started this church and ended up having to give it up for many different reasons because I had two boys I had to take care of, and I couldn't do both. But as a result, that went down the wrong way, the wrong path, and the wrong person got in charge of it that was totally into this kind of narcissism that we're talking about. And it's just sad because I see more and more people, the same stories, trauma, being used, being dropped. Some things never change. The people change, but these leaders still are doing the same patterns of abuse, greed, having to have the best of everything. And what do you do? Sometimes you just have to walk away from that. You can't keep feeding the beast because they're using their churches as cash cows. Yeah. And in some places, the cow is dead. The cow doesn't want to give any more milk because and the best thing to do is to blow the whistle when you've been in those kind of things. Like I've been in it. I've been in the belly of the beast with a lot of these preachers. And it's sad to me that people don't want to come out. And then when people do come out, they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know who's going to listen to me. Who's going to understand my story? I was on staff, and I confronted the leader, and now I don't have a job. That's devastating. And I went through that too, the devastation of totally having to change everything about my whole life is because I confronted, and I wasn't going to put up with abuse and neglect anymore, and seeing people continuously used and hurt. And I know there's many that have been the same thing, that church is no longer a safe place, but it's a traumatic place that you've come from. So our safe world was shattered. Many times it's at home, many times in church, sometimes it's where you work. More and more people are telling me how hostile their work environment is becoming and how hard it is to work with people. And how mean they are and how angry they are. Now, trauma in the Greek means wound. It's an experience or condition you can't seem to get over. An example is war. And we see the things of war trying to come again. I hate war. I hate the effects of war. I hate to see what it's done to people. And we ought to keep praying for peace. But these post-traumatic stress disorders, their whole world has changed. And I've talked to a lot of vets that have come through situations. They're never the same. And it's sad, too, that this same church disorder is happening to Christians. Their life has never been the same because they don't know who to trust. I thought I was being led of the Lord there. I thought God was there. Now it's confusion. Was it all the devil? You have to sort through what's going on. And hopefully we can help you sort through some of that. So your safe world is no longer safe. Negative events shake your beliefs, and you're filled with fear. Mephibosheth, I'm sure he was filled with fear because his nurse, who was supposed to be taking care of him, she was afraid, she fled, and as a result, I mean, just think of how bad that accident had to be for him to be lame in both feet. He was traumatized. He was wounded. And in these traumatic events, all of us have unanswered questions. Why did this happen to me? How come? I thought I was following the Lord. I thought the Lord brought this person into my life. Why didn't I see the red flags? And we can go on and on and on. And sometimes we get answers, and sometimes it takes a while to get an answer. When I started coming out of this whole Word of Faith prophetic movement stuff, I had to dig. I had to dig because on the surface, this is television. I mean, this is the evangelistic, so this is it. And then I started seeing how the news system, which I can't talk about right now, and how a lot of these churches are connected. And now they're connected with political systems. And so I can just see that the church hurt is going to get worse as things start rolling down this avenue. And what the Lord wants us to come out from amongst them, come out. Mark those that cause division. You don't have to be mean or angry, but you don't also have to be used and abused. And you can say, enough's enough. I've had it. Is there a place where your spiritual, emotional, and physical life should be safe? It should be in your church and in your family. But many of us did not have that, either place. But instead, many of us have had traumatic, stressful, chaotic, and painful experiences, like abusive leadership that is not accountable to anyone. We were a part of all these movements, but the pastor could do whatever they want. They were almost lords. Yeah. You know, don't question the pastor. Don't confront the pastor. But we had many, and still do, many narcissistic leaders. I see them when I see them online. I see them preaching, so haughty, so arrogant, bragging about all the things they own and the stuff they have. That should be right there. Right there is a red flag. These self-serving narcissist leaders that bully, they're bullies. You can't confront, you can't even ask them a question. Because if you ask them a question, you're dishonoring them. Sit down and listen. I'm preaching, that's your counseling. That's what we used to hear all the time. That's all you're gonna get. I'm counseling you right now. But instead, they're bullies, very controlling. And then when you think they have your back, behind your back, they're causing division. Yeah. Narcissistic leaders always divide. They never unite. They're always dividing. It's church trauma. So I just want to pray for you if this has been something you've been in. And Lord, I just pray for those that need to exit these kind of churches. There's really no easy way to exit, but there's freedom when we exit and we find out you really weren't there anyway. You're leading us to another path. So I pray for those that have been hurt and wounded. I pray for them, Father, right now in Jesus' name, that they don't throw you out with the bathwater. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing. Give us discernment to know who's of you and who is not of you. By their fruits you shall know them. And help us not make excuses for these narcissists any longer. We thank you for exposing them, Father, in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time. And if you fall,
sure.